Welcome, everybody, to The Real Deal with me, Larry Lawton, and Ben's What's over up? Here. And we have a very special guest in studio today. We have Councilman Pete Filiberto, who is the councilman for Palm Bay, which is not a small city. It's actually classified as a mid-sized city. It's 120,000 people, and we have one of the councilmen here. Pete, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Ben's.
Before I start, I'd like everybody to know, make sure you check out Gangster Redemption, please. It's going great. Everybody loves it. And within probably, Ben's, what, another week? We're going to have another week or two, we're going to have the...
couple days for sure.
We're going to have the website up. We're also going to have a pre-order, all that kind of stuff. The Crooked Diamond, everybody. I'm not kidding you. It is fucking awesome. In fact... the councilman was lucky enough to get one of the cigars. What did you think of it?
I enjoyed it, Larry. I love the box press of the cigar. I mean, that's one of my favorite cigars right there. It was a box press one, and even the color of it, it was mild. It was great, man.
Yeah.
One of the best cigars I ever smoked, Larry.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Wow, that's pretty big, man. Yeah. And, you know, and you're a cigar smoker. It's not like you don't smoke cigars.
Right, right,
you
do, yeah. You know. And I smoke some good ones, too.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. I know. It must be nice to be rich. But the...
That's completely false, but be that as it may.
We are going to have a great show today. The reason I brought Pete on, and I really wanted him on, one, I do know him. I know his dad for a long time. We know him very well. But Pete, you did something that I'm a big supporter of. Young people getting involved in politics. You know, I'm sick of fucking 78-year-old people run for president. We know that. But... even in a local level, you started, and your story is amazing. It really is. You born and raised here, obviously, in Palm Bay, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And I want you to tell me, why does a... how old are you, Pete?
I'm 34.
You're 34 years old. You first started running, was you about 32, right?
Now, yeah.
You had a race. You lost the race. You didn't get down on yourself. You ended up having a race. And first of all, in that first race, it was really an anomaly because your vote was split.
Right.
Here, Pete's a Republican here in Brevard County.
It is a nonpartisan race, though.
It is a nonpartisan race, and you are very nonpartisan anyway. I mean, you care about the issues,
right?
And we talked about it, Ben's and I. You're an issues candidate. You really are. I mean, you and I know you very well. You do your research better than anybody I know on any of the councils or anything. What got you into politics? What would get it? Like a person listening to this show, is it going to be a young person? What does that person? Why does he want to get involved, and what made you get involved? Because, you know, politics is a fucking headache.
It is, and it's long, and it can be boring at sometimes, those meetings. But basically, for me, I feel like that everything starts in local politics. So, I mean, whether it's a variance that you need for your house, or if a new playground is being put in, or if it's a new gym, gymnasium, that's all going to be local politics involved. So that's kind of the reason why I wanted to get in. But what really got me in, my first issue, if you want to call it an issue, I was living in Surfside, Florida, and they wanted to put a two-story underground parking garage, underground now, on the Barrier Island. And, you know, Surfside and Miami Beach in general, it's flooding, and there's king tides there, and everything like that. And I'm like, this thing's going to flood.
Sounds like a bad idea.
Right. Yeah. And they were telling me it was going to be the most beautiful thing on earth. They were trying to sell it and everything like that. I'm like, this is the worst idea on earth.
Yeah. You know?
But that was kind of the first issue. I fought it hard and ended up on top. It didn't get passed.
Now, obviously, it's very rare that a young person gets involved in politics. I mean, they have your people, the career politicians. You're an issues guy, like I says. I mean, we need you, and we need it in a big way. We need people who do look at the issues, listen to the citizens, and you're always out there. Even now you're elected, and you won re-election.
Yes, sir.
So you're already, man, is this considered your second term?
It would be, yes. So, I kind of want to clarify on that. It is considered my second term, but I kind of have to look at the statute more. I think it can be a
far. Well, what happened, Pete, there was a special election. One of the councilmen,
resigned.
Resigned. And then it was a special election, and Pete won the special election. And then he had to run again a year later, 8 months later.
8 months later.
Eight months later, and he won again.
Right.
And resoundingly. I mean, nobody ran against you in the second one. That's how strong. I mean, that's how strong he was. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. We were ready to support you anyway. You know that. We're always here to support you. But I just love the fact that I'm trying to get it into young people's head that they need to do what you do. Get involved. How? I mean, was it in your blood? I mean, I know your dad. Let's talk about your dad. Your dad was the mayor of Palm Bay.
He was.
How long ago?
I want to say 1987. It's like 1990.
Wow. Yeah. I think it was just when I robbed the store here or something like that.
That's how he gauges time.
But no, it's and did you like it? I mean, as a little kid, did your dad, bring you around politics and stuff like that?
I'm a people person, Larry. I like the people aspect of it. I mean, I came back from an event today. So a little groundbreaking event for the Baffle Boxes that Representative Randy Fine helped the city of Palm Bay get. So, seeing people like that out there and talking to them, and that's how you really find out, get a good pulse on Palm Bay and find out the real issues of what's bothering people or even what's good about Palm Bay.
We're going to talk about that right now.
Think about that stuff.
Right.
He really does. And not only that, something came out. Wasn't Palm Bay ranked one of the top cities to live in?
It was. The Palm Bay, Melbourne, Titusville area, yeah.
It was one of the top cities in the country to move to. And Palm Bay is not a little city. Again, it goes up to 100,000. After 100,000, I think you're a mid-sized city now. Mm. It's classified as a mid-sized city. And that's big stuff. I mean, you're talking about how many miles of roads are in Palm Bay?
There's over 700 miles of roads in Palm Bay.
That's insane.
That's fucking insane.
Not including the compound?
That is including compound.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And that's 250?
I won't say it's about 175.
Oh, 175.
I don't have an exact number.
Yeah, okay.
But let's clarify to the listeners. The compound is an area out west where they tried to develop it 20 years ago, 25 years, 30 years ago, 30 whatever years it was. Ago, yeah. And it's pretty much an abandoned, all it has is fucking roads, and it's a big party place. That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, if you want to call those roads, right? It's whatever's left of roads that were put 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's nothing. But, even without that, that was just bad planning, somebody way back in the day. And that was way before your dad.
There's a long story there, and there's these guys actually went to jail.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about GDC.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think his father had something to do with it.
He did.
Yeah. It was I want to say 1991 GDC, and it was a publicly traded company. It was a massive company. And my dad fought him on the bad dealings they were doing for the city of Palm Bay.
Right. And it was on 60 Minutes.
It was on 60 Minutes. Right. Yeah.
He got the utilities to be owned by Palm Bay instead of being, right?
That's correct. Because
it was private before that.
It was owned by GDC.
Exactly. So that was huge for the city. I mean, the city wouldn't be where it is today without that.
Oh, absolutely. But they didn't save the golf course. The fucking poor Malabar country. That's all I give a fuck about.
The golf course. That's absolutely. All right, you heard his issue.
Yeah, my issue? Fucking issue. Why don't we have a fucking golf course here? But that's besides the point. I mean, obviously, that's a numbers thing, and that's a business decision that the city doesn't make, people make, and they have to make it worthwhile in anything they do. Obviously, as a business person, I know that, whatever it is. But getting back to you, Councilman, you ran the second time and you won. What was the feeling like? I mean, does it all come together and you say to yourself, wow, I am the councilman of a fucking mid-sized city. I'm sitting up on a dais and I watch you. I was there for your swearing in and everything else. And what went through your mind?
Honestly, it was the people that put the hard work behind me and they put their faith and trust in me. I mean, I didn't do it alone, Larry. I mean, we knocked on about 4,500 doors, probably made about 10,000 phone calls, and it was a team of probably about 15 to 20 people.
I love that.
Yeah, and that was kind of my first feeling right when I heard I won. I mean, I'm getting chills right now even thinking about just, hey, the team here, it was a team effort. Everyone came together behind the goal of getting me elected on Palm Bay City Council.
So you were happy for the people, your team.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was a huge team win. Huge team win.
Let's get to clarify the record here. About 5 days ago, 7 days, whatever it was, Pete Filiberto gave me an award in front of the council, a flag for my service, which I do have a pretty stellar record, I think, as a military service. And he read it in front of everybody. And I got up to speak about it. He spoke, and it was a packed house.
It was.
And we have the video. We have the footage of it. And we're going to put something together about it. I want to thank you again.
Larry, it was my honor, Larry. It was great.
It could be. But, it really gave me chills because it was in front of my city. I've been here. My mom has been here since 1983. 84, the house was bought in 83, and it wasn't built. There was only three houses on this. They were the first three houses on this block. And there were 15,000 residents in Palm Bay.
We're sitting in that house right now.
Yes, we are. It's been here. It's a 40-year-old house. And I think back, 15,000 people were here, and now it's 120,000.
120,000, yeah. 88 square miles. I mean, Palm Bay is massive, and it's only 40% built out.
Right.
So that's another quite amazing fact about it.
I want to ask you about that for building out in a city as a councilman, because we got you here for issues too. Obviously, when you have a city this big and it's got only 40% built out. How do you gauge the special services we need, the police, the fire, the schools? I mean, who does that? Do you do that?
Council will make a decision on that when it comes to planning and zoning and like annexation. But really, it would be a city planner. The growth management team we have right now in the city of Palm Bay, they're relatively new. They're great. One guy's a doctor in planning. He has a doctorate in planning. So,
wow.
Yeah. They hired some great people there. You know, I'm working with them. They're receptive. It's been amazing.
Well, I'm going to push back on something then.
Go ahead.
Why does the city have our understaffed with police, which is important, and fire? Why are they understaffed? If somebody's planning, was it the bad back people? I mean, let's be honest.
Honestly, it was just an issue that was never brought up for 20, 25 years.
Well, who the fuck don't bring up an issue of police and schools and things that we need? Roads.
Yeah.
We know roads are a big issue in Palm Bay. And you're traveling on a road and that fucking thing in potholes. I used to go down Babcock, and this is not a joke. People have lost fucking, you know, studs and rudders and, you know, car shit. And tires and, you know, all that kind of shit because the roads were now they're fixed. They are fixed. Babcock's great again. But, I mean, to let that get to that level, somebody's missing a boat. And maybe that you weren't there, of course.
Right.
But are the people changed? I asked you that very important question because Atlanta Penitentiary just was a massive fucking fuck up. It's been on the news. It's been on, I did videos on it. There's a Senate investigation. Well, they got rid of the staff that fucked it up. They're all gone. So they brought new people in. Is that what happened with Palm Bay?
It's kind of happened. New council, new staff. So I'm going to say yes on that, Larry. But I'm very happy with the staff that we have right now. Again, like I said, they've been very receptive. I was on Brevard County Planning and Zoning, which I felt really has their stuff together, the county in general. So when I won as councilman, one of the first things I did was try to bring some of that county stuff, county planning and zoning, over to the city of Palm Bay. And I want to see the staff report like this. You know, I want to see what the property was two or three times prior to what it is, how it sits now. So just little things like that really can make you a sound judgment decision. A school impact analysis survey. Where's the nearest fire station? And what's going to be the response time to the new development from that fire station? And the same thing with the PD as well. I'm a huge public safety guy, Larry. And it is one of the things you have to bring up when you are talking about planning and zoning. So I did have a couple stats here. I'm glad you brought it up. So Palm Bay does have a... I think we have the best police and fire in the country, or in the world. I'm going to say the world.
Of course you are. But we might push back in like New York Police Department. terrorist organization.
Okay. But I have 1.3 officers, 1.38 officers per 1,000 people here in Palm Bay.
That's terrible.
It is. It's below the state average, way below the state average.
It's like second worst in the whole state of Florida, correct?
I'm not gonna go that far with it, but let's say it's the lowest in Brevard County. It's the worst in Brevard County.
Okay. And how are you gonna address that? What are you doing to address that?
Right. So, we're raising the pay of officers, and recently we put a $10,000 signing bonus for any new officers who are coming to the city of Palm Bay. Wow. So we're trying to recruit folks here, quality folks for the city of Palm Bay.
But is it worth that money? Meaning, do they want to come here for 10 grand and fucking get their training and leave? Or do they want to come here because it's a great place to live and it's a great place to raise a family? You know, 10,000 bucks is nothing in today's world. I mean, I get it. But if he's going to be there anyway, why are we giving people 10,000 bucks?
Well, you know, Palm Bay is a great place to live. So, I mean,
I live here. So,
I want to say the median income is about 45 grand for a family. An officer is probably about 47 plus that 10 grand on top. And that 10 grand is not going to be like, hey, you get 10 grand, then you're going to leave in 6 months. No, it's going to be paid after they're here for a certain amount of time.
Oh, good. Okay. It's going to have a retention of it before they get, or even start getting it, or however.
And it might make people actually go and become officers too, people who are local.
Yeah, let me tell you what happens, and I noticed for the fire department, not Palm Bay's fire department, the county's fire department, a lot of people come here to get training. They get hired on. It's one of the lower paying departments in fire department. I'm talking about the county now. And they move to other cities like Fort Lauderdale or even out Orlando, anywhere, because his pay is so much better. And I'm a believer, Pete and Councilman, in big time paying these people. If I got somebody coming here because I'm an older guy and I got a fucking heart attack, I want the fucking right guy here. You know, pay the people, pay the law enforcement, pay them. I've always been a supporter of paying people because when you don't, you got shit. And that's what happens with the prison systems,
right?
Obviously. So you're addressing that, and how are you getting the money for that? Are you taxing the citizens? How, I mean, you gotta, you know, there has to be some kind of a funnel of where it goes. It justifies it, everything else, because I want to know where my money's going.
Absolutely. You know, you got to cut. I'm going to say, let's cut the fat from certain departments, 2 or 3%, and add it to the police department. We're doing some grants. We have 6 DOJ grants for 6 positions of a police officer. So we got 6 positions.
But you know as well as I do, grants are a one-time thing.
Yeah, but I don't want to say we're raising taxes on folks, but we're seeing where our money is actually going instead of just signing off and rubber stamping a budget. We're actually looking into fine details of that budget.
Again, I'm going to go in this one. I, as a taxpayer in the city of Palm Bay, I'd like to know where. Can you, as a councilman, tell me where my X amount of dollars I pay in taxes go? Yeah. Like, is it, do I have new parks? Do I have better police? Do I have a better fire department? Do I have a maybe an education fund or the landscape? Something that says, I live in Palm Bay. I liked where my taxes are going. These are local taxes now. We're not talking about federal taxes,
right?
Shit like that.
Or even school board account. Yeah.
Right.
The tax dollars really go to maintaining the 88 square miles of our city. And we have 36 parks here in Palm Bay. You know Laz, a good friend of our Laz.
Yes.
He's put in 9 new playgrounds within the city of Palm Bay, and we're getting more playgrounds added. So that's kind of where the dollars are going. And in the future, I wanted to say that we're going to have a fire station off Palm Bay Road to kind of relieve Fire Station 1 off Port Malabar. Because they're over capacity right now, and we need another fire station with another fire person with more fire personnel.
All I hear is money. You know, I mean, obviously it's money. Yeah. And again, I guess a good city, they rate them on a lot of ways: how much their taxes are, how much the quality of living is, the school systems and stuff of that nature. So, I don't mind paying more taxes if I see where my money goes and it's better. When you pay more taxes and your roads suck, or you're fucking, you're under, you know, you always say under fire departments, under staffed, police are understaffed. I heard in a meeting, one of the council meetings, that the chief of police said they need how many officers? I forget the number.
It was right around, let's call it 10. But how about the communications department? I mean, it was 16 communication officers. They're working mandatory double shifts, which 8-hour shifts. So they're working 16-hour shifts, mandatory.
And people can't, you know, a person can't keep up that.
Oh, no way. They're going to get burnt out.
Burnt out, yeah. And say, fuck this shit. You right. know? And so those are the addressing the issues that I think people want to pay taxes for. I'll give you a little thing. We had a Fraternal Order of Police president of South Florida. Benz will remember him, Al Palacio. Mm-hmm. They hired 310 cops or something in a year and a half or 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they got the money from the citizens. Literally, they pushed for it, and the citizens agreed on an increase just for law enforcement. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And if anybody wants to go back and hear that show, it's a great show. And I look at that. I would pay that, and I think people would pay that. I don't know. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Maybe you'll know. I know you're not the chief of police, but how is crime and how is the issues like the fire? Do you have a lot of problems? Do you have a lot of problems with crime?
No, we don't really have any problems with crime. Well, if we do have problems with crime, it's these young kids nowadays, and it's more like they're not breaking glass to get into the cars. The car's unlocked, and they just lift it. You know,
it's called car hopping, everybody.
That happens everywhere.
Yeah, it does. It's called car hopping.
Yeah, I was a kid, I knew so many kids that did that. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And it's called car hopping. That's what they do.
So that's like an old thing that I guess will never go away. You know, kids being kids.
Right. Well. Let's put it this way. Let's get a little bit of a campaign, more community policing, where they put out and, you know, hey, listen, lock your cars. We do have that.
Absolutely.
Do something like that.
For sure.
So the more you do with that, and you let your citizens know you're being proactive to lock their cars, you know, people just forget. And I know your dad.
On purpose does not lock his car.
Well, you know, he's a different.
I don't want to have that conversation right now because he's not here to defend himself, but that bothers me.
Oh, we will, though. But no, I'm being serious on it. I think there's where obviously I could come in and maybe we'll do something down the line. But policing is something in my mind, and I'm a big supporter of good policing. And I got along very well with your chief of police, and I think this one too, I will. I haven't met him yet. He's brand new, your new chief. But the last one, Nelson Moyer, I was instrumental in actually getting body cameras
for
you guys.
That's true. That's
and true. I was happy about that because I think it's very important that, and this protects the good cop.
It does.
You know, people don't get that. Cops say, oh, I don't want a camera. No, you do. So when that citizen says that you cursed them out or spit on them or whatever, and you got a camera says you didn't, that's important. And I gave that great story about, well, here's what happens with body cameras. You got an officer pulls up by the 7-Eleven and there's two kids. One's got a gun. And he points it right at him, right at the cop. Cop shoots the kid. It's out of any camera range. It's even outside the front end of the car. And all of a sudden, he goes down. The other kid grabs the gun and runs away. And now the cops say, well, the two kids, where's the kids? Where's the gun? Where's everything else? Now the cop's got to defend himself. And in today's environment, they want that camera to prove that what happened. And that's a big thing with law enforcement I'm talking about. All right, we're going to get back more into you.
Let's dig into community policing.
Okay, sure.
If you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a huge advocate of community policing as well. And I know you were a fan of this, Larry, when I told you, but Palm Bay Police Department just bought an ice cream truck.
I love it.
Yeah.
I want a free ice cream now. But
What?
They go around. We have three community resource officers who ride around in the ice cream truck.
Yeah.
During special events, stuff like that, or what have you.
And they give out ice cream?
They give out free ice cream.
You know what? That's great, man.
I love that.
Bring them closer to the community. That's awesome.
It sounds kind of like,
when you explain it, it sounds a little bit better, you know? Like, just we bought an ice cream truck.
Yeah, so it sounds like a bunch of fat cops want to go for free ice creams. No, I love things that bring cops with young or even anybody, you know? I mean, I don't care who you are. You're at an event, you see a ice cream truck, and there's a bunch of cops talking great, and, you know, how you doing today? Here's a free ice cream, you know? I think more of that. If you're going to spend money, and we get the money, you know, how law enforcement works is they have confiscation funds. Well, they have to spend 25% of those confiscation funds on community policing. They can't spend it on new cars or belts or some bullshit like this.
I'm okay with that. Maybe a little more.
I'll take the 25%.
You're right.
Because when I first started battling the city, they weren't doing 8%.
Okay.
And they changed it. And it was the city manager who was the fuck up, and she's no longer there.
This was years before you were.
No, involved. No. But he remembers it.
It was a couple, 2 or 3 years ago.
Anyway. Yes.
Right. So it wasn't anything that you were involved in, right?
Oh, no. And it's something that he wouldn't know about unless a citizen like myself looked at the books where they were taking that money from. You know, he didn't know that police had to spend 25%.
People don't know where to look. That's the thing. You know, that and that happens a lot. So when you have people that are issues people, and we talk about this, and we talked about you, Pete, specifically. When you think about the issues, if a concerned citizen like Larry, who doesn't have the resources or the know-how of going through with an idea that they have or something that they have a problem with, they can come to somebody who's an issues person, and he can bring it to the table. And, you know, a lot of the questions that come up in these like town hall meetings, and I've been to only a couple in my life. Guilty. I'm not involved in local politics. I don't live in Palm Bay anyway, but.
But you should get involved. Especially with kids, you have two young kids.
I understand. And seeing Pete going through the process, because I've known him from before he ever ran. And I understand your personality. You've always had your opinions and you've always been pro-community and you're true Palm Bay. You bleed it. I know it.
Oh yeah,
I've seen it for years, way before this ever happened. But I'm just saying, having people like you in those meetings makes a huge difference because you can read the people and read the issues. And I think it's important.
And even this on better, because I do go to some meetings and if there's an issue, I go to them and stuff of that nature. And I've done it in every city I've been in, is he researches the issue. He don't just get up there and make a decision because this person said something. You know, it's one thing to have a vote by, you know, a city manager saying this and then you vote because it sounded good. But is it true? Did you do the research? Is it, you know, can we do it better and give that back? And he is unbelievable at that.
Right.
You must spend, that's a great question. How much time? And let everybody out there, you don't do this for money.
Right. This is a labor of love.
This is a labor of love. And it's really, this is true politicians in my belief, not what we have in Congress today. Career politicians that just go there to make the 180 and steal another 5 million. You care about the city enough because you don't make the money. You know, how much time are you putting into this?
I put a lot of time into it, Larry. I'm not going to put a number on it, but I mean, I came here with notes today. So, I mean, I'm always doing my research. I'm always trying to get the right answers for the people. Because I want, when someone speaks to me about my city, I want them to know that I know what I'm talking about. So that's why I'm always putting time and research onto it. It's almost continuous learning. It's not like I can never learn too much about my city. So that's where I stand on it.
And as a newer politician, I'll say newer. You're still almost a year you're in now, right?
About 8 months, but yeah.
8 months a year, what a close. What has been the biggest surprise as a politician? Any power, like what one thing that really,
that's wow, a good I didn't question, know Larry.
That. That is a great question. I haven't really had any surprises. I mean, I knew that there was going to be hard work. I kind of knew what I was getting into, but I'm still learning a lot too. You know, I'm not saying I know everything about being an elected official for my city, but it was a, oh man, that is a very tough question.
Well, there has to be something that stands out. Now you had the luck or the advantage of having a dad who was a mayor of Palm Bay. You have friends who live here. So they come to you at issues. I come to you at issues.
But if you ask him, he maintains that he has nothing to do with his passion or his way to go. There's no shortcuts here.
I didn't say there's shortcuts. So there has to be something like, wow, I didn't know it worked like that.
I know, but people hear like, you know, the ex-mayor. You're right. I like that question. But people think like because his father was the ex-mayor that he had some sort of in here.
Oh, and no, not at all.
Absolutely not.
I lost my first election.
Exactly, I mean, so. Exactly. If that means anything to, right.
Right. Matter of fact, we got to ask the father when he comes on where he was during his swearing in. This is a joke we have going, but we'll fuck with him. That's for sure. He's coming on. He will come on. I think now he realizes what we do, and we're not hit jobbers. We have fun, but we do sometimes get to issues. And obviously, people who listen to this who aren't local, I want them to understand. Most cities run like this. Most cities have a council of some sort, and your city, wherever you are, listening to this podcast, you know, if you don't get involved, how do you fucking say? How do you complain?
That's true.
You know, I'm a bit, and you know, I do get involved. I mean, I don't get involved like you because I shouldn't. I mean, I might be a one issue candidate or a two issue or where's my law enforcement? Where's my money? Where does this go? Why, you know, I look at stuff like, and it's going to get a little deep, and you're a very big supporter of law enforcement. The fucking sad tragedy of Texas, what happened with the school shooting and the law enforcement fucked up in the biggest way ever. That has to me, if I was a politician in the city of Palm Bay, I want to know what my police department is doing so that doesn't happen here.
Right.
Or it can happen, but at least they handle it the right way. Yeah. Is that something that gets on your mind when you see things like that go on? How do you do that? Do you go to the chief? Do you say, what's going on? Why do we have more training? Or what?
Yeah, and we do training. I mean, we went to Palm Bay Hospital after that happened. We went to Palm Bay Hospital. We went to a couple schools and kind of ran a mock scenarios, because right now it's summertime, so there's no kids in schools. So we kind of ran mock scenarios of what happens if there was a
mass casualty,
an active shooter. Okay. Yeah. So
Al was telling us about that.
Matter of fact, the school police department guy, big time, and they actually invited me in to come film it and actually do it and watch. And they have it a lot. He just had one, and he goes, "Wait, you heard?
Missed it? Yeah,
I missed it. I got he got yelled at me when we were in Miami. Yeah. And he says you didn't come to my city, but." That's got to be something that weighs on a politician. And I don't mean just you didn't do it or something, but if I could look back and say, well, I actually look right now at Texas and I say, well, where were the people? Where were the leadership in that whole city? Yes, everybody goes to the chief, but where's the leadership that says, hey, what's going on here? I mean,
how come you don't have this in play?
Something, right. You know, I mean, I know he's a professional. You hire the professional, you hire the chief of police. But somebody's got to say, wait a minute, we could do things better. And I know you do that as an issues guy. Have you done things like that here, gone to the police chief and said, what is our protocols, or to the fire department? Or
And we get briefed that they do presentations for before council, not just me, but before council publicly. So we're very transparent in our process when it comes to training, certifications, and exercises and of that nature. And then even that, I mean, say if you want to have like your house assessed for security, you know, what we could send a community resources officer out here and say, hey, how can you improve the security of this house? And, wow. He or she will point out different things. So
that's a free service.
It is a free service. Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine if they had something like that in Philly. I mean, where I grew up, this sounds like a cloudy dream, you know.
Oh,
like the police is going to come to your house and tell you how to secure it.
Yeah. In my neighborhood, the police come to your house where everybody runs.
You that's know? Cool. And you know what? And you guys have a lot less taxes here, a lot less tax dollars to do that with.
But
you were already talking about how the police, the police department here is already smaller than most, right? Critically yeah. smaller from if I understand correctly. And so, you know, to think about big cities with big budgets that don't do things like that. But for you guys to go, I mean, I think that's impressive to hear that Palm Bay does that impresses me.
But Ben, let me push back on that.
Go
because,
ahead.
Because, When you're talking about a big city like New York City, let's take the New York City, biggest police department in the world, I think, and Pete knows. I know some stories about that. That was great. But they have people overseas, so you can never compare what New York City does to any police department, really, or a big police department. And they're not a little city anymore. So remember that. You're saying, oh, a little town. They're not considered a little town. Yes, Melbourne is technically yes, because they're under 100,000. But these little Indian Atlantic.
Melbourne is under 100,000?
Yeah, 75,000. There are 80,000 people in Melbourne.
That blows my mind.
Yeah.
I thought it was like quadruple that.
No, it's not over 100,000. They're not considered a big city yet.
Palm Bay is what, 250?
No, 120,000.
Yeah, 120.
What's the whole county?
550,000.
Hey, you just knows the fucking statistics, Larry, over here.
Well, you know,
Larry was quick on that one.
Yeah, the boom.
Listen, when my councilman comes on, I got to be prepared.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, actually, we talk a lot. We talk about this,
and you actually care about these numbers. You know these numbers because he is very, very in tune with his community. Would you say that?
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. In a person in his position, he has to be. He has to be. I try to be in tune with my community. It's what city of Palm Bay.
Sure,
I got to have a pulse on your city. 100%.
I feel like I'm dropping the ball here. I'm learning something.
Well,
here.
No, I don't. Especially with
you. I don't even know who the mayor is in Melbourne.
Oh my God!
What's the name?
You know,
Paul Alfrey. Good dude. If he is listening,
yeah, yeah. Hello, Paul. I know Paul. You know, he's Coast Guard too.
Thought it was a chick. Oh, was
he? Was in a Coast Guard.
Yeah. It was a girl, but
no, that was a previous one.
That was Kathy Meehan.
Oh man,
I know your fucking mayor.
Yeah, you do, I guess.
I do know. I know a lot of the politicians.
And she's listening too. Hello to Kathy.
Yeah, I like Kathy too. She's been around a long time. And she cares about her city, too. The people, most people in local politics, I think, care about their city. And I think that's the big difference between when you get a bigger. And I'm not going to go jump on all politicians. I think they go in there for the right reasons. But then, obviously, politics plays the bigger role. Here, as a nonpartisan city, you don't see as much politics. There's politics, but not as much as you're going to see in a bigger level. Because there's not the R and the D next to their name. And your citywide elections, correct?
Correct.
See, most cities will have a district and an area, and he doesn't. When he campaigns, he has to campaign for the whole city. And I like that because you do represent the whole city.
Yes.
And the council does. You should. Otherwise, there goes the politics. I need it for my district. I need this for this and this. And that's not, I want the park here because, no, you don't get that. You want the whole city to prosper and in a good way. Getting back to some politics with you, again, you got on law enforcement. I'm going to get back to you. Mm. You grew up in a political family, somewhat,
right?
And is it in your blood? I often ask that because I couldn't do it. Forget my skeletons. I don't give a fuck about that.
For me, it's all skeletons.
Everybody
has them.
Everybody has them, but I don't give a fuck. But it's the work he's doing. And I get it, and I'm passionate about certain things. And I do a lot of work on something with prison reform or something like that without getting money or anything. But it has to be in your blood. I think that.
I'm going to say yes. I mean, you know, my dad's a doctor and everything, and my dad's always been helping people. I mean, even in their sometimes when they have no one else to turn to. So that's kind of how I feel my role would be as councilman, and that's how I try to treat the role. I mean, a constituent has come up to me from the city of Palm Bay because they've tried staff, they've exhausted every resource. And they're like, let me try my elected official and see what happens there.
Do they get answers?
Oh, of course. For me,
return every phone call or every email you get?
I return every phone call I get. Email, I'm probably about like 75%, but some of those emails that they don't really require a response. You know, it's just
some of them are just comments, not
right. Not questions.
Right.
But even then, I'll just respond back, acknowledged or received.
Sure.
You know,
good for you.
That's simple. I do that. You know, I do that with YouTube. I mean, I do a lot of that with like answering comments and stuff of that nature.
I got 240 followers, man. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, I respond to everybody.
Yeah, everybody just said what. You know that one guy said, "Fuck it."
That one guy did. Yeah. Ignorant and what do you call it? Ignorant.
He goes, "Yeah, you should stick to tech." Is what he said.
Yeah, yeah, that's me. Both ignorant and arrogant.
I laughed the fuck about it. Well, when you see him on the fucking sitting back, yeah, maybe you'll look at him now because now you can look at it. Everybody, you can check these out, obviously up on YouTube, and pass them around. Getting back to politics again, what is your goals? Like, where do you see one Palm Bay? Where do you see you in 5 years, 10 years?
I'm just focused on the job at hand.
Fucking stop that bullshit fucking flat answer that all politicians give. I worry about today. Rubio said that about the presidency, and then when he lost, he goes back to fucking Senate when he said he wouldn't do it.
Right.
I'm not going to go there. You have to have some kind of goal, vision, something. Well, for the city.
Yeah.
For the city and for yourself.
Well, I kind of got a dual role here because, you know, I'm a federal contractor for the VA, so I can grow with the VA or I can grow with the city. So I'm just going along both paths, and whichever path, you know, takes me to better and greater, which where I can be more effective to help people, I'm gonna take that path.
Okay, let me go straight. Do you want to be a congressman?
Oh, I'd love to be a congressman, Larry. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah. Who would?
I think you'd make a great congressman.
I really do. That's why I asked
But please, I beg you, and I know you will, but I have to say this. I beg you to keep that mentality of an issues person.
Oh, yeah.
Don't sell out to the... And I know that there's plenty of opportunities to sell out. I know you know about it. You know, we've talked, you know, between ourselves before about this stuff. I think, realistically, everybody that goes up in politics gets jaded with time. We've talked about that.
I really believe most go in with the right feelings, attitude,
visions. I think they all start as issues.
Care. I think what happens is when they get to the place and they see nothing ever getting done, or why am I fucking just doing this? And let's face it, Congress is a really tough ball because every 2 years you got to run.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you got to run every 2 years and you want to get something passed or something, this is my solution to this for a community. Me, Larry, would go up with a group of powerful people, whatever they are, the school board or the people. Let's just take a YouTube channel or whatever. You build enough people. You go up to whoever you're going to help and support, and you say, listen, we want you to put in a bill for legalizing marijuana. Let's just put that one. Now, if he don't want that, you don't want him as your politician anyway. He has to represent the people.
That's right.
Now, if he does not put that bill in because he does, it's not the right timing, or Pelosi didn't, you know, he won't say Pelosi didn't say it. If he doesn't do it, I think the guy should be voted out that fucking next time. It'll take probably two times where the next politician says, whether I'm fucking wrong or right, I'm putting it in because that's what they want to see, and see who votes against it or not, or at least won't push it through. But the people need to see you doing something to represent them. And I think that has to even go with local politics.
It does.
You're going to do something for us. You say you're going to do it, do it. What happens is they all fucking promise the moon, and fucking, you don't even get a fucking goddamn...
There are hurdles along the way.
I get it. But there's a hurdle because they put the hurdle there, whether it's the leadership or whatever. But if the leadership has to keep training new people, because they control the fucking strings of the money, let's just say any party, Democratic Party, Republican Party. So they say, if you don't follow party lines, you're not going to fucking get elected because we're not going to give you the money or the support. Well, guess what? If this group of people who live here can fucking have more power than that person and fucking elect you. And there are a few, whether it's a Joe Manchin, you could tell what it is. He don't give a fuck what his party says. Joe Manchin does what the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
And you got to respect that, whether you like it or not, because he's representing his people. And that's a senator anyway. But I think that's very important. I think we have to get above the politics of the parties and stuff and let the people start running it. Because then Pelosi can't fucking get it in. Next one comes in. Eventually they're going to say, she needs to put it in. And let's see what happens and see who votes against it and stuff. And I think it'll take time. The problem I think has, and you'll understand this as a young man, is young people want shit now. They're, you know, it's the fucking now generation. And I get it because I'm even there now. Look at YouTube. YouTube is a now fucking business. But I think you as a politician have to know the issues. Obviously you do. But then you have to stick to what you fucking said.
Mm.
And that's the hardest part with the more you grow. Whether it's county commission, whether it's then state senate or state, you know, what a state house or whatever you're going to run for or be, because you want to make a difference.
Yeah.
But you got to make a difference for the people you represent, not fucking the party, not fucking what the leadership wants. You got to make it for the people who put you there. And I think people are starting to see that more, and I think it can happen. I think it's a great thing what's happening with Joe Manchin because it's showing he can fucking do what he wants and he's going to get elected because that's what he's worried about technically. His people in West Virginia.
Yeah.
And you know what? They fucking put him in office, and they're going to keep him in office. And he's a Democrat in a fucking Republican state. Totally. Mm. So when you think of that, you say, it can work. And he's done it. He's built that up. And I think, you know, you have done everything you said to me. I mean, I remember when you were running, and we talked about the roads. We talked about this. And you've done everything. And you listen to people. And I think that's important. But I just, like he said, I want to implore to be not only an issues person, a person that's going to do something for the people, not listen to the party if that's what it takes. Because you represent us. You don't represent the party.
Yeah.
Any party, that is. I don't even know.
I'm going to agree with you on that. You got to listen to the people. But, you know, in 2020, when I lost my election, I really tried to do it my own, you know. But unfortunately, you have to have some, I don't want to call it backing, but you need some support from outside people, outside agencies, whether it's the party or let's just go Congress, what have you, you know, the NRA or whoever else those people do.
I'm pushing back.
Yeah.
Because the people, let's just take YouTube. If we had a group of X amount of people, Discord, get it. In other words, make it the people here who can build up their own group.
You can't get enough people to take action. That's the problem.
Well, I think you can.
I mean, then why don't we have more than two parties in this country, Larry?
Why? Because of the people.
People are tired of fucking party affiliations.
I agree with that. Yeah. But do you know what's happening right now with the Libertarian Party in this county?
You know what? And you know what's going to happen to the Libertarian Party? They're going to eventually become a
party just like them all.
Right. A product of their environment, which is to be a party. They're going to have their own thoughts. Again, they already do. They don't want taxation. That's going to be one thing that they're not going to be able to agree with the other sides.
Well, listen, everybody can agree with something. Look at Rand Paul. He's an independent, I think he's a Libertarian
How
party.
How far has he gotten?
Look who he is. He ran for president. Are you kidding me? The father, Ron Paul, ran for president. Rand Paul is a fucking independent or a Libertarian, and he might lean one way or that, but he sticks to his Libertarian values. I mean, you would know that, yeah, obviously. Yeah. So it can be done, number one. I think the people will see more and more of it happening. Listen, a lot of people don't notice. There's a lot of independents in Congress. They don't even know that. There's more than you think. You know, it's 435 congressmen in this country, 100 senators. There's 535 people in the legislative branch of our government who are very powerful people. Let's face it, 535 people represent this whole fucking country.
And how many of them are independent?
I don't know the exact number, but
percentage, if you had to throw one out there.
Oh, it's a low percentage because of the money. Again, he's right, because of the money, but that's not always going to be the money. The way, and you would know this, Ben, as a tech guy. You know, the old ways of the signs, you do them, they're there, but they showed it in New Jersey. Do you remember the senator who won in New Jersey this last cycle, whatever it was, 2 years ago?
Cory Booker, I think.
No, the guy had a $1,500 budget, and he won because of, do you remember that?
Yeah, I think he was a semi-truck driver or something.
He won election because he did it all on the internet. He did it the different ways.
He marketed it.
Ground game, too. He knocked on a ton of doors. He won it with the ground game.
He went old school.
He did.
But tech, he had no budget.
Did both, right.
Right. So you know as well as I do, you can get things out to anybody you want. We talk about that. Now, I think it's trending that way. It's obviously everything's trending, not on TV. You don't see as many political ads. You'll see them now and then with the big race like the president because they want the old vote. That's the fucking thing there. But when you talk about anything young, you don't see it anymore. You don't see that because it's gone to the point of technology. And obviously, my mother doesn't know technology. She comes to me when her fucking phone don't work every fucking day, and I tell her to hit this button, but she just doesn't hit that button.
In 30 years, network TV will be less than 20%.
Oh, absolutely. Probably a lot less than 20 years.
Yeah.
A lot less than. I talked to a CEO who does 30. Advertising, whatever. It's going to be a lot less than all of that. But now I look at that and I just always try to implore people, young people, find that group that really is powerful in your community, whatever that community group is. And it doesn't have to be the Republican Party, because they have their own fucking agendas. And their agendas are not Palm Bay's agenda.
But you want to make sure that my agenda may align with their agenda. And I'm saying for someone out there who is a gun guy or what have you, they have no problem joining the NRA and then receiving money from the NRA because they are a gun guy and they believe in that stuff. And there's people out there that are gun owners here in America.
100%. But if your voters, who put you in office didn't want it, how do you represent it?
I think it's a Second Amendment. I mean, I don't want to get into that conversation.
Listen, I know that very well. I mean, all of that. And I 100% agree. I'm actually a person who's for guns, not for fucking tanks or whatever else it goes on. But I'm for one that can protect your house or whatever. I always think,
tanks.
Well, my fucking view on any gun, I think you should be able to have whatever weapons your local police department can have. I don't give a shit what it is. If they have it, you should be allowed
to have it. So I should have a SWAT truck?
If you want one, have one.
I mean, you technically could, can't you?
Yep.
I mean,
absolutely.
Armor truck, you can.
Absolutely, you can.
You can afford one. You can have one.
Absolutely, you can have one. I just think that because that's what tyranny is, and that's when the government becomes bad. I'm not talking about the army and stuff that guys protect us.
So that's why you're pro Second Amendment, because of tyranny?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it's not like that we're gonna fight the government. If the army came in here, we're fucked.
We're done, bro. Of course. I mean, the only I think Florida and Texas will be a little harder than your average state, but...
Like another 2 days.
Yeah, well, I said 2 hours. No, they could take over so quickly, man. But here's the thing. You know what the problem with sending the military to their neighborhoods is? They're all going to go and they care about their communities. These are their people. They're them. You're not going to get the military to fucking turn on us.
Russia's seeing that now. I mean, Russia has that issue with Ukraine.
They have that issue with Ukraine. Now, imagine if they sent them against Russians.
Right. You know what I mean? And well, they considered themselves. That's why they, even though it annexed 20
years. They're exactly the same. Exactly the same.
We know that. I'm saying, but they annexed themselves, whatever, 21 years ago.
I could not go to my neighbor's house and put a gun to them and tell them to surrender to my feelings. I could not do that.
I agree. And that's American principles, obviously, that we don't want that. We want to be independent. We want to be free. As much as you think you're free, you're not. But that's a whole other topic.
Yeah, let's not start there. I don't think
But I'm
free.
Just going with the political end of this. And being we have a councilman sitting right, a sitting councilman on the council. I mean, there's things Randy Fine, whether you like him or not. I liked what he did. I liked Randy Fine a lot when he told the county, you want $30 million from us, the state, when you just gave $30 million to it to a company.
The listeners don't know who Randy Fine is.
Well, okay, Randy Stein is our state representative as a congressman. Well, it's like a congress; they call him a state rep. They have a senate, and he's a rep. I'm pretty sure. Correct?
That's correct. Yeah, state representative.
And he, well, I know it. I mean, he's our rep, and he, pushed back on the county, which is the next low below them. They wanted to get $30 million from them, and from the state, and he goes, "Wait a minute. You want $30 million, but you just gave a company a $30 million friggin' thing. Get the $30 million there. Why do you want that money?" So he was protecting my money. I loved what he did. And I think it's important that we have a politician who's willing to do that and not just counter the 5 Republicans that are on the county commission and say, okay, I'll do it. He said, fuck you. You're not getting that money. And obviously, he didn't say that. I mean, he's a public. Well,
he withdrew the funding for, he withdrew the request because it was at his request, and he withdrew it once that $30 million went to that hotel.
And you know what? I have more respect for that than I've had for most people that do anything in politics, because he didn't counter it. He didn't just, oh, we got all these Republicans. Just to let everybody know, anywhere you're listening, I live in a very Republican county. Not that I am. I'm a libertarian, but I'm registered as a Republican, actually, but I'm a libertarian. And my views are libertarian, meaning I am socially liberal and fiscally conservative. I don't give a fuck who anything else. I'm socially liberal, but fiscally conservative. And he stuck up in a very Republican county. He went against 5 Republican counties.
Yeah.
That takes balls, and it takes you sticking to what you believe. I guarantee more citizens like what he did there, then then don't like it.
Right.
How you keep asking for money? I can't stand that. I mean, that's like Palm Bay asking for money, and then they're giving a break to some company. Don't do that. I have an issue with Palm Bay's how they do their the funding. With they have to keep using this funding for new projects, but they can't use that funding to maintain the project.
That's right. Impact fees
on buildings and stuff. Is that what it is?
It is.
And that's wrong. They got to change that in their charter. They got to change it because why we could get the money, but now you have to build something new. Now, how do you maintain it? If you don't maintain it, it fucking goes to shit, and you have to ask the citizens for more money when you have an impact fee that a builder has made, whether it's a road or something of this nature.
It worked on a very small scale. It's not going to work on this scale.
No.
Right.
And I get it. And that's something that obviously, Pete knows, as far as a councilman, one of my issues are, listen, you got these impact fees. These companies come in here, and here's the best part of that. Did you know they get their impact fees back if they don't use them?
Yeah, actually, when I found that out, I could not believe it. So if we don't use the impact fee money.
So if I give you $12,000 to build a house here.
At impact fees.
Yeah.
Right.
You would give it back to me if you didn't use it?
In 7 years. Per the ordinance.
Oh, yeah. They'll use it.
No, but here's the problem.
Has anybody ever gotten it back?
No, here's what, question. No, yes.
It might be the law.
Yes, a lot
no
of people
way.
Got it back.
That's crazy.
Here's why. because he has to build something with that money. You can't maintain something with that money. So you keep building new shit.
Growing, right?
You keep building new shit, but you have no way to pay for that stuff to be maintained.
So you can't use it to maintain roads? Like to repave roads?
You can't use it for maintenance.
That makes no sense. You're right.
100%. When I heard that, I go, what are you talking about? You got to build new roads, but now how the fuck are you going to maintain the road?
Yeah.
You got to get taxes then. Or some loan or some shit. We just did a bond thing.
Yeah, for the road bond program.
Road bond program. So that, to me, is something that the city's got to change. And this is who you were talking to, and I'm doing it publicly right now, because those impact fees should be able to be used more, I hate to say liberally, they need to be made in a better way to use those fees in a better manner.
100% agree. We're going to have a workshop on the impact fees here, I want to say next month. So I'm digging deeper into it, because impact fees are very interesting. How the money's spent, how the money's received. Just read through the ordinance. I didn't know about that 7-year thing until I actually got elected to council. Wow. And I'm reading through the ordinance there. I'm like,
That blows my mind.
If we don't use this money, we have to give it back to them in 7 years.
And do you know what that build? We're not talking houses. We're talking about, let's say, a development that builds a $400 million development. Whatever. Like, there's a big company came in here and did all the houses down South Florida.
Even commercial buildings too.
Right. Commercial. Okay. So if they don't use them fees because they couldn't do it, because they know they can't maintain it, they don't want to raise taxes, they give them back, and it could be millions of dollars. And I'm like, what? I ain't giving nothing fucking back. But you have to build something. So if you don't, what are you going to keep building? What do you build?
Playgrounds. Nine at a time.
We have how many?
Oh, I actually have that number right here. 36 parks. 36 parks we have in here. Awesome. In Palm Bay.
But people don't know.
And some nice parks, too, I should add. Because somebody who lives in Melbourne, my wife, to take my kids to the park, she drives. And it's not a short drive. I mean, it's about, I would say, 25 minutes from my house to that one specific park. It's in Palm Bay, and it's her favorite park. Uh-huh. And there's so much going on. There's a skate park there. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, people don't know that we have a great estuary down in Palm Bay. There's boardwalks, and I've walked it. Teresa and I went down there, and I'll tell you, I was very impressed with what they had. And I didn't know it. You don't know what you have until you. And that's another thing. Again, that those impact fees, if you wanted to, you can't use them there, but it could be for letting the citizens know about these parks. Usually when a park comes in, people don't travel like your wife. That's very rare. Most people go to something close to them. And if they don't know it's close to them, we don't have it.
The funny thing is there's a family from my wife's friend with kids and stuff. They call them play dates. That comes all the way from Vieira, which is another 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Vieira's even farther.
To go to that park. No, I mean it. Yeah. They have all their, incredible. She has a big group on Facebook with all this stuff. They have their meetups and their play dates and all that shit in parks in Palm Bay. And I asked her before, I was like, why don't you go to ones close to the house? She said, because they're shit. That's legit what she said to me.
I'm
Paul Bay Brown right now. I'm Paul Bay Brown.
Hell yeah.
And you should. And that should be celebrated, and people should know it. Because if that's where my money's going, I'm happy. If I have taxes taken out of them, which we do, and I know that they're really good, and there are, I often tell, when I would help families with kids, I ask them, there's something of every family. Oh, wow, I haven't said this in so long because, my program. This is true. I always tell them, here's what a family needs to do with a young person. If you have a 13-year-old, a 10-year-old, whatever it is, you need to go to a park. No cell phones. Everybody, dad too, mom do, or whoever's with them, everybody leaves the cell phone in the fucking car. You could go, and then I often say, take a newspaper. You can open up a newspaper and start talking and ask your son. You will be surprised what young people will read. I had a family do these drills, I call them, and they actually went and they took a newspaper into a park. They have to make lunch anyway, so they made like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They went to a park, beautiful park again. That's something where people can use. They open the paper then and say, you read some, I'll read some, and we'll talk about it. Now you as the dad or somebody should be open enough to say, now you will be surprised. You might have a son who reads the financial section. You had no idea he wanted to know about numbers, and he likes that. You might have another kid who reads about a gay kid that got abused, and it's hitting him hard. Well, maybe you're going to find out your son has some tendencies, which is okay. Who cares? I'm not judging anybody. So there's a way to communicate better with your son or daughter just by doing that drill, and people don't do it. They get so wrapped up in their lives. Whatever, it's once a week, once every other week.
It's going back to basics in a sense.
In such a basic way without cell phones. You know, too many people are connected. And this goes for the parents, because here's what happens. You're talking to your kid out there. Hold on. No, you just showed your kid that that fucking whatever it is on that phone is more important than what we're talking about. You can't have that cell phone, because that's for the parent too. Because the parent looks at it, and I do it. We all do it. We have phones, and we're always fucking on them and looking at them. When you want to really talk to your son or daughter and whatever age, and the kid can read, you should take that kid with that paper and give him all sections of paper. He might talk about sports. He might, and then you'll find out a sport he might like. You might, again, major sections. He might be an article on a disaster, and the kid really cared about people. Wow, or an animal got abused, and he's really crying. He's reading this thing, and Dad, why do people do that, or whatever it is. And then the communications can really open up. But it goes back to where we were talking about, having parks that are really nice and people can use them, and it doesn't cost money. The drill I was telling parents is, this doesn't cost you no money. Zero. You got to feed your kid anyway. No money. You're not taking him to Disney World. You're not fucking getting his attention somewhere else. And he has to do it too, and you do it, and before you know it, and you open it up as the parent. I used to say the parent has to be the first one. Go sit in the paper. You take the paper. You say, I want to read, you know, when I was a kid, blah, 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 this is what something that it affected me. And that's why I'm an engineer now, because I saw a building collapse in Surfside. And now I'm just giving it, you know, an example. And that kid then will go and read. And you don't spend too much time. You spend an hour. That's it. Because, again, attention span, we all know, is for everybody is fucking pretty low. But it's back to that park, that nice environment where you can spread out. You can go to where you want to be with no one. You don't want to meet your fucking neighbor. You don't want to go, hey, fucking Zach, what's up, buddy? Or you know, you don't want that. Get the fuck away from me. You want to be away. And we have the parks. And I know this because I did a police ride along here in Palm Bay. See, talk about being community minded. And I was with the officer, and we went to a park I didn't even know we had. It was all off Emerson. You go down one of the side streets, they have a firehouse there too. You would know
it. I think it's called Limbrook. I'm not 100%.
It might be, you know. I go, wow, I didn't even know this was here. And it had, I mean, nice grass and stuff, some tables. And it's a great spot to do things with people for nothing.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. We need stuff to help the city. And that's where when my money goes to a park, I think what I just said, and I haven't said, you never heard me tell that story ever.
No.
And that's something I came up with, and it worked very well. I had a lot of parents call me back and said, Larry, that's the best advice anybody ever gave me. And I still do it today as the kid grow older. And maybe not as much, maybe once a month because of time. But you got to give your kid that hour.
I heard you on that. I heard you.
That's pretty remarkable.
I'm going to do that.
Good for you.
No, yeah, I mean,
especially when it's starting reading and stuff. That's the key. And I
try to keep my phone down, by the way. If my kids are around me, I try to keep it down. I mean, you'll know. You'll text me. It'll take me an hour to get back to you.
Yeah,
that's because I didn't look at my phone because I'm with my kids.
And I love that. I think it's very important that even whatever it is, especially with kids, and it goes back to the councilman, and his job is to make things like that easier for us or available for us. And it with parks, that many parks, and then Ben saying what he said about his wife, literally driving by, and other people, that I think is a real good testament to at least the
park.
That's
the truth. Absolutely. And not only that, I will ask her exactly, and I will text you and let you know.
Please.
I will tell you exactly
ask her why she likes it.
I will. And I'll let you know because I could see just your eyes lit up when I said that.
I was so happy when I heard that. I really was.
And you know what? And bro, that's why you're the man for the job.
I almost have tears coming down.
That's amazing.
Joy,
you know? He celebrates his community.
I do. I'm really proud of my community.
But don't be blinded by that celebration either, so.
If you
listen, you got your 3 minutes, you're done.
I got a question for you, Pete, real quick before we wrap up. I think a lot of our listeners are younger, and some of them may be inspired after listening to this or for whatever reason to go for city politics or for county politics or whatever it is.
Local
politics. There you go. Of any form, and make a change. What is your recommendation? What would you say to somebody who was in your shoes 5 years ago?
You just have to start off by going to a meeting first. And, you know, that's going to take probably about 6, 7, 8 months to learn the issues of what's going on in your city. You meet your local politicians that are already there, your local elected officials, become friends with one of them or a couple of them. And then eventually you get appointed to a board, maybe planning and zoning board, parks and recreation board, whatever you care about, you know, infrastructure board, whatever it may be. Then once you get on that board, you get on a couple other boards, and now you're fully in it. And then you could possibly run for local office after that. But it takes time. It really does. And those meetings, they're long. I'm not going to say they're boring because I like them, but most people would think that they are boring.
Well, look how excited you got over the parks.
Well, what he's saying, and I want to say this before, you know, we do, like you said, we do close. What I was at the county when they gave me my award for the service award when I got councilman gave that. And I was, thank you. There was a man there I know for many, many years since, and he actually used to come and fix stuff in our building and stuff like this. His name's Tom Guam. And Tom was given an award because he's what he just said. He is a guy who's on the boards. He knows the city. He cares about, right, wrong, or indifference. He cares so much about that the city and what he's passionate about. That's all that counts. You have to have people who want to get involved. And I think, like he said, if a young person, go to a meeting. Just go to one meeting.
Get involved, if I'm hearing you correctly. And then find a good team to be behind you because, you know, you said that was something pivotal for you.
It is. And make sure that team aligns with the way you're thinking and everything like that.
100%.
Absolutely. We do that with us. Right. I mean, literally.
They got to make you better.
They do.
We do that right here with Jason and you and everybody involved, with Teresa, Darry, and myself. We all are aligned.
Right.
We have the same goals. Get this or do this.
Everything's a team effort, right?
Absolutely. I say that all the time. Nobody can make it alone in life,
right?
But there has to be that education involved to get there. Somebody has to be, you know, they always say you should surround yourself with smarter people than yourself, you know, and that's, you know, hard. No.
Not for you, apparently.
That is that. No, fucking with it. But get involved. Go to a meeting. And you know what people say, though? I don't have time. That's bullshit. It really is bullshit. Think of your time. Think of your day. Off Pornhub for fucking an hour.
You got to get off Pornhub. I truly don't have the time.
Get off Pornhub.
I'm not on it.
YouPorn? X2? Which one?
This motherfucker has a whole list in this.
XXXNY, yeah. But no,
I'm sorry about this, Pete.
No, it is true that, you know, we have to make time for things that were important. Again, that drill.
If something bothers you enough, you will make the time. If you truly do care about the issues, and you know what? If you don't care about the issues, if you don't want to go and make a difference, don't fucking go anyway.
Don't bitch and don't complain. We don't have this. We don't have shit. What happened is, you know, the minute you start complaining and you, it's like people who don't vote. If you don't vote, it's hard for me to respect that you have a say now.
Some of us are criminals and can't vote, Larry.
Well, that's a big issue with me, and that's one of my prison issues that I try to fight. But you're right. I mean, because I consider that taxation without representation, right? And that's how this country was fucking formed with the Tea fucking Party. But, you know, in Boston, all that bullshit.
It's supposed to be temporary. When is it going to end?
Yeah, right. Exactly. But no, I just want people to understand what we were talking about, that get involved. We got a sitting councilman right here who's 34 years old, been involved in politics probably 10 years now already.
Yeah.
From
that meeting to now. Yeah.
Right. So this man's been there 24 years old, and I know, we know how passionate he is, and it shows right here on this show. And again, I want to thank you, but Benz, do you want to add anything before we do wrap it up?
No, man. I thank you so much for coming on the show, and I truly do support you, and I almost want to move to Palm Bay so I can vote for you. That's how much I support you. I wish I lived in a town where I had somebody who cared about me as much as you care about the people here.
Thank you, Benz.
I mean that. You said it exactly what I say. He knows he has our support, and it's because... And we might be disagreeing. We do. And we'll have a very great, you know.
We have good debates.
Very good debates. Yeah. And I've changed his mind. He's changed my mind.
Sure.
So, and I always, you know how I always believe, change my mind.
Right.
And I'm able to change.
It's okay to disagree. It's not okay to not be disagreeable.
Absolutely. It's very well said. And now to you and before, you know, any words for you, what you'd like to say to citizens, to everybody, and what we're doing?
Basically, I mean, don't be afraid to reach out to your local elected official, whether it's on the city level, the state level, or even the federal level. I just wanted to end with this. I mean, when I started getting older and started getting involved in politics,
fucking 34.
Well,
nah, I'm only kidding. God,
you're always getting older, Larry.
It was 2000, and W just won the election in 2000, and I wrote, I was like, oh, let me write the president a letter and, you know, congratulate him, and he actually wrote back. You know, wow. W wrote back. And I've wrote every president since then after they've been elected and received, it's probably about 75% correspondence back.
That's amazing.
They don't do it. They have an office that does that.
It doesn't matter.
No, either I agree. Way. Listen, either I agree because I did that matter. In prison. I know Senate didn't read my fucking letter. One of his staff did.
You shrink the world when you get a letter back for your letter.
from the White House.
Right, exactly.
You feel White House letterhead.
Oh, yeah.
You feel like you matter. You feel like, you know, they really took you seriously, and that's huge.
Yeah. I 100%, everything he's talking about, I agree with. But any now say something to the citizens or the people or anything else?
Again, just don't be afraid to reach out to your local official. You know, thank you all for supporting me here in the city of Palm Bay. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Benz, for having me on the show. I mean, this has been incredible.
And we're gonna put your social information and stuff like that in this video. So if they wanted to contact you and maybe advice anywhere around the country, you wouldn't care, right?
No, I wouldn't care.
I mean, gonna put his
75% chance he'll answer you.
Yeah, that is true. Nah, you better let that guy call me and say this guy didn't fucking answer. That'll be the death of him. No, only kid. He knows that. I'd like to end by saying again, thank you very much. You opened eyes. You always do. You're very well level headed. Yeah, very mature young man. Comes prepared to our show, which that's I don't have to prepare for him. We talk enough about things. But thank you again, and I'm proud of you. If I could say that without sounding condescending, I'm proud of you. I think you do good. You do good for your city. Like Ben's really did hit it. You're making this place better, and I think you open a lot of people's eyes that it can be done. Am I correct on that?
Absolutely.
With that said, everybody, please make good choices. We have a lot coming up, and just stay tuned to our channels. My main channel, we know the giveaways, everything going on. Please stay in touch. Someone's going to walk away with a nice laptop or a free cruise and flight and everything we're giving away. For two people. Yeah, fuck, there goes my money again. So, everybody, have a great day. Please stay strong. Please stay safe and make good choices. And we will see you next time right here on The Real Deal with me, Larry Lawton, and Benz. Have a great day, everybody.